Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We got a great one lined up for you. Part three of Holy Blood, Holy Birthright. We're going to get right into Word. So you call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. We are going to really try to overwhelm you with evidence. Now, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established in the Word, here a little and there a little, because we know that the stone that came was rejected by the builders. In other words, when Christ come, and we do believe he visited the earth in a flesh body approximately 2,000 years ago, and the story is incredible. Yet the most incredible story is the question of his birthright lineage. And we're going to prove tonight. Now, we have a three-page document. If you'll write Pastor Buddy, I'd be glad to send it out to you. It's concerning tonight's message as a part three, Joseph and Mary. And we're going to prove that both of them are from the lineage of David. Now, let me repeat this, and it's a very important statement that I'm making here to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ had birthright affiliation through David. And that David was not a Jew, or from the tribe of Judah, as we call it, or Jewish, as most people would say today. That he was indeed himself from the tribe of Ephraim, where David was from. Now, we're going to prove that David himself was not a Jewish lineage, neither was his grandparents before or the progeny. And afterwards, David's downline, and we believe we've had some tampering with the genealogy. And that's why that it is stated in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, that the birthright is not to be figured after the genealogy. Now, if you go back to Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and we'll review where we left off last Sunday night on the message, part two of the birthright application of his blood and his bloodline. Chapter one says that Ruth and Boaz's progenitors, if you will, the fathers and their grandfathers and so on and so forth, were out of the tribe of Ephraim. We know that Shiflon and Malchalon were Ephraimites according to verse 2 of Ruth chapter 1. Now, I want you to go there and take a look, and as you study with us, write or underline and write in Strong's number 669, 670, 71, and 72. These are the Strong numbers that will indicate that an Ephraimite is from the bloodline house of Joseph. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a little, an analogy or a metaphor, if you will, of the type of Christ. Joseph himself, not Judah. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Judah went down and married into the Canaanite family, and you'll never read where Joseph ever done that. You'll never read one negative thing about Joseph. As a matter of fact, Sister and I were talking today that Joseph revealed a dream that he had to his brethren, which provoked them to jealousy, by the way, everyone except Benjamin. And the other 10 brothers were violently opposed to Joseph being the birthright inheritor. Now, why do you say that, Pastor Buddy? Because it says here in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, where the great prophet, and ladies and gentlemen, the more I read about Jacob, the more that I'm inclined to believe that he perhaps was one of the greatest of the prophets that ever walked the face of the earth. And why would you say that, Pastor Buddy? Because he was from the king line. And if you're following the scriptures that I've been giving you from Isaac, Isaac was a true-born, inspired creation of the Father. And if you'll read Genesis chapter 21, and you'll see that Yahweh visited Sarah. Now, a brother and I were having a discussion, and he gave me a thought to think on, and I'll pass it on to you tonight for what it's worth, that it is possible, just like the Immaculate Conception that Mary had in Luke and Matthew, where it's recorded, the birth of Christ was on this wise, that Yahweh overshadowed Mary, and she conceived in her womb. Now, in this case, we believe that the Father contributed the sperm, if you will, to the egg that the fertile Mary had, and she produced a son out of her house, her bloodline, if you will. And this is going to be very important, so you stay tuned tonight, because I'm going to prove to you that Mary was of the lineage of David, and so was Joseph. And we'll state some information for you in the genealogy. We'll give you some things to think about and ponder. But if you look at the metaphors here that we could lay out for Joseph and Christ and the types that he typed, when Joseph was, if you will, exiled down into Egypt, he went there, and Egypt symbolizes darkness or a place to hide. That's where Joseph was taken to by the plan. You see, the brothers were trying to get rid of Joseph. They despised him, his dreams and his revelations, and his coat of many colors and his preference by Jacob. Jacob loved Joseph more than all the other sons. And they were somewhat envious or jealous, or probably a combination of both. But if you really realize, it's just carnal flesh thinking. This is what they were. They were in a carnal mind, and Joseph was a spirit being. And he was very well instructed into the spirit application, because he was special chosen to bear the birthright. Well, he went down into Egypt. And then the other 10 sons, remember now, the 10 sons first sent by Jacob when the famine was in the land. Now, the Bible says that there will be a famine in the land, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word. And ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to produce the revelation that it will take to set your feet on straight street and to anoint your eyes with the salve of the holy anointing, Ruach, or the Holy Spirit, or in some cases, the Holy Ghost. Now, if you will take the anointing and take the word, rightly divided, and apply it to your spirit being, not your flesh being, because the Bible said that Yahweh's ways are foolish to the carnal mind. The Bible said that the laws of Yahweh are not subject to the carnal mind. So it takes a spirit-minded person, one that's been anointed, one that's been accepted, one that's been chosen, because many are called, remember. You can be called and you feel the anointed, and you can feel the urge, you can feel the joy and all these things that most denominational systems feel, and still not be chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. So if you're going to get into the Word, I'm talking about the living Word. I ain't talking about the Word that is dead, the Word that is made traditional influence through paganism and the things that we have to endure in the bell box. And I feel sorry for you if you haven't come to the realization that most of the denominational system that you sit in and you hear this traditional teaching, it's so dead, it's so unanointed, it's so uninformative, that it's twice dead and plucked up by the very roots of it, its existence. Full well they reject the commandments or the truth or the anointed Ruach to keep their own traditions. That's what Christ said. Well, you see, when Christ come, that was a raging debate. Now, for what I would like to continue tonight is to get you to see that the blessings that Jacob prophesied here in the 48th chapter or the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis was that Joseph would be hated. Let's go to the scriptures where Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by well, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Remember he told the woman at the well, if you'd ask me, I'd give you living water. And she was on the mountain of Mount, what they call Mount Zion, where the temple it took 42 years to build. She was in that mountain. And Christ told her, said, well, this is the wrong mountain chain, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, we have introduced astounding revelation information that can be yours for just simply asking for the Joseph and Mary document. Now, remember, just write Joseph and Mary document. And I know exactly what you're talking. We got three pages here where I go through the genealogy on the front page. On the second page, I've included an excerpt from my document of the birthright document, the map in the region of Bethel, and its color, it's a beautiful color. You'll see at a particular time of the evening when the sun is resting against the mountains of Bethel in Ephraim, at Lutz, where he first placed his name, you'll see the shattered square script Aramaic Hebrew letters of Achia, because, meaning because, at Lutz or Bethel, the name is spelled out in Aramaic. Amazing, folks. This is just beyond the consequential chance of it just happening. This was deliberate, put there intentionally, long before even the language of Aramaic Hebrew in square script letters was ever formed by the will of man or by the inspiration that Yahweh give man. When they formed the square script in the language, here the Father, knowing that the language of the present day at the time of Christ, that here in this mountain, when the earth was formed, even in the very beginning of time, this was in the mind of our Creator to hide his name and to pick a particular spot on the earth named Bethel, house of El, house of bread, house of light, house of revelation, a place of his name. And he placed it there, and he swore that he would anoint the firstborn chosen of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, that the one chosen would have the preeminence above the others, and this belonged exclusively to Joseph. Now, most of the world has adopted through tradition and through false doctrine, by the way, that Judah is the birthright tribe and that Judah is the one with a preeminence and that Judah is the one that had the favor of Almighty Yahweh. And it's not true. Quite the contrary when you get into the revelation. Now, you see, when Israel... When Jacob sent his 10 sons in the first famine, when he sent his sons down to Egypt to bring back corn. Now, you know what that symbolizes? The wheat, the chosen. And he had to go into darkness to find the light. The light was hidden here in veiled in darkness. Here was Joseph, a type of Christ, hidden. And the Bible said, you will search for him, but you won't find him. Christ said himself, he said, and they said, oh, where are you going to go that we can't find you? You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have a revelation, you'll get lost in the shuffle of tradition. It's a maze. It's actually no wonder they call it confusion of tongues or Babylon. my, how many trails, rabbit trails, if you will, because you see, it takes somebody that's experienced. It takes really somebody that's anointed, somebody that's chosen and predestinated, as Joseph was, to bring the revelation. Here's the light, hidden darkness. And they had to go down to Egypt to get corn. Now, in this case, wheat. We call it corn. And most of the people here in the South, if you say corn, they think it's maize, and it's not. It's the wheat corn that they were going for. Now, they got them to make bread. And so when they got down there and they had their experience with Joseph, they were afraid of him. Because Joseph was disguised, he did not reveal himself to the 10 brethren. Isn't that strange? Here Joseph did not, and I repeat, did not reveal himself to the sons of Leah or the concubine children of Leah or Rachel. But notice, after they came out with their sacks well full, Joseph told them, he said, if you ever return, don't you ever return to this country unless you bring your other brother. And that would have been Benjamin, the son of the right hand. And Jacob grieved for the sonships of Rachel. You see, if Judah had been chosen as the birthright child, then Jacob would not have grieved, because the reason he really grieved, have you ever wondered why he grieved so grievously concerning his son Joseph? It's not because only that he loved him. It was because he was chosen by Almighty Yahweh to be the birthright son to inherit. And here Jacob believed the terrible lie that his sons had told him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that Yahweh will send you a strong delusion, and these delusionary things that have been inserted in your age to try you. You see, you can't fool some of the people all the time. Because if you keep on trying to fool some of the people all the time, somebody will get a deeper revelation, and everything that's been hidden will eventually come to light. And that's the case in this. Jacob really believed that whatever Yahweh swore to him here at Bethel, where the name of Ephraim is recorded, it's amazing that shadowed into the mountain in square script, Hebrew, is the name of Ephraim. You'll see the letters. We have a special map, and it's natural. It was taken by a spy satellite photograph about 570 miles into space. It photographed the whole region of Palestine, and here at Bethel, only one place that I can sit here tonight in the studio and proclaim to you that there's only one place known or discovered by man, and we have really looked, if you will, the whole earth has been mapped by a satellite, and not only the earth but the moon and Mars and some of the other planets systems have been looked at by satellite. These are very detailed. They can actually read a signature on a check from over 500 miles in space. They can locate a certain area or region, and they can actually give you your social security number if you held your card up. Now, that's how amazing this technology is. It's just almost beyond comprehension to the average person to comprehend what technology has done. Well, the Father knew all this technology would come into being about this time, about the time of the end. He says the mystery will be solved, and the mystery will be finished, and the mystery will be opened by the people chosen to bring back the revelation, and that is the sons of Ephraim, Joseph, who will be instrumental in bringing back the whole body of Christ, uniting both Judah and Israel, the 10 sons, together, forming Joseph and Benjamin to complete the 12 tribes, with Manasseh, the adopted son, as the 13th tribe, back into The divine covenant revelation, a fulfillment of prophecy for God, it is impossible for him to lie. And David wrote of this blessedness when he said, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Joseph was that type of person. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to astound you, perhaps, if you've never been involved in the genealogy research, if you've never listened to Pastor Buddy, if this is the first time that you've ever cared or dared to listen to Pastor Buddy. Because, you see, if you're just a traditional run-of-the-mill Christian, and you're used to milk toast, this meat will probably, perhaps, go right over your head. But if you are a Bible searcher, a hungry sheep, if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Father said, the Bible said you'll be filled if you hunger. So the Father will send prophets and teachers and fishermen, and they'll fish for you and they'll hunt for you until they find you. The truth will find you. You do not find the truth. You have to stay still or be still and know that he's the mighty one, and that when you hunger and thirst, if you'll hunger, if you'll fast, if you'll pray, if you'll earnestly contend for the faith, the Almighty God will send you a prophet. You may not like him. He may seem rude. He may seem bold. He may seem unlearned or ignorant, or he may be a setter forth of strange doctrine, as they were with Christ. They were astounded at his doctrine. I'll show you why just in a moment here. In the 22nd verse we're reading here in Genesis, it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers, now who were the archers that sorely grieved him? It was his own house. Did you know that the foes, your foes, your foes, your foes will be those of your own household? And in this sense, we're talking about in biblical proportions or spiritual application, Joseph's foes was his 10 brothers. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just as the 10 tribes were lost in Egypt, they didn't know who Joseph was. They didn't know where their source of corn was coming from. They were literally biting the hand that was feeding them. But when Joseph demanded that if they ever returned, he said, don't you ever come back to this land where I am governor. Don't you ever come here to this land of whom I oversee unless you bring your other brother to my presence, because you will be not given any corn. You see, that was the gathering together. This is symbolic of the gathering of the 12 before the revelation comes. You see, there has to be unity before God, and 12 is a government unity. You ever notice that? And if you reduce the number 12 down to 3, 3 is a resurrection number. By this number, Joseph was chosen to rule over his brethren. Remember the 11 stars that he was to rule over? And that they would bow to him. Everyone came to Egypt and bowed to him, and it was a fulfillment of prophecy. And then when the 12th son came, the book of Asher, if you've ever read the book of Jubilees or Asher, you need to read this especially in the book of Asher, or Jasher. If you will read this book, it will tell you that when Joseph asked for the sons to come before him, Jacob's sons, and the 11 sons appeared, and they brought Benjamin, because they told their dad. They said, Dad, if Benjamin was there at home with Jacob. And he said, we need corn. And so you all return back to Egypt to fill our bags with wheat that we may eat once again, because we're hungry once more. And they said, Father, it is no use for us to go back there, because that man of the governor of Egypt, they didn't even really know who he was. They said, if we return, that we must bring our younger brother Benjamin, or else we will travel there in vain. Matter of fact, he said, he'll imprison us and kill us all. Well, it grieved Jacob to send Benjamin. Now, why would it grieve Jacob? Because Benjamin, the son of his right hand, would have been next in line to receive after the confirmation. Jacob was waiting patiently. You see, faith is the evidence of things not seen. He didn't panic. He didn't overreact. He didn't slam the blessing on Benjamin, who he would have given the blessing to, by the way, had it not been for Joseph reappearing. But see, all the while, when he thought he was dead, in his mind, he'd been told, and see, you can believe a lying bedam, and that's exactly what was happening to Jacob. He believed the son's report that his son had been killed. They brought him the bloody coat as evidence. Ladies and gentlemen, we're studying this bloody coat of many colors tonight to give you a genealogy checklist that Christ was himself from the tribe of Joseph. This is the most wonderful, astounding, earth-shaking public information ever revealed on worldwide radio. And you say, why, Pastor Buddy? Because it's instrumental in returning the truth or returning the children back to the fathers or the father back to the children. Now, in any way, we're knowing that the revelation, when the revelation is preached and all the truth is preached to the world, then shall the end come. You see, Christianity for the last 100 years has been in missionary pursuit and bringing the gospel. They call it the gospel, and we call it the gospel of deceit. The Bible says it's a way that seems right. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot in him and hated him. That's a type of Joseph. They hated Christ also, and that's a type of the two being from the same house. And truly it was. You see, Joseph revealed himself by handing Benjamin, who he invited up to sit with him in the throne. And he said, tell me where your brother is. Oh, he said, well, my brother's missing. And so the book of Jasher says that Joseph handed him a star-mouthed book. And I wonder where that book is at tonight. It could be in the tomb of Joseph. I hope and trust it is. You'll see then who the birthright son really is. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to come conclusive proof. But before that, we're going to preach faith. You must accept these things on faith. And we're willing to offer anybody $1,000 that can prove that Christ, any of the apostles, were out of the house of Judah, or Jews, as the word goes around the earth, or Jewish. You see, that's not true. We're supporting the wrong people for the wrong cause at the wrong time because we don't know the true identity of Joseph. Joseph has never been preached. Now Joseph is coming into the forefront. He's becoming important once again because the enlightenment of the gospel, in the last days the revelation shall come forth, the knowledge will fill the earth, that we've been betting on the wrong horse, so to speak, and that's a terminology that we use at the racetrack. If you was to go gambling, you don't need to bet on the wrong horse because you lose everything. So if you bet on the right one, that would be Joseph, who gave his brother Benjamin the chance to recognize him by handing him a star book. You see, it's written in the heavens, and it's also written in the earth here. I can show you in the heavens where that the constellation of Orion is in tribute to the sons of Jacob, the 12 constellations. Oh my, how that the pyramid, which is built on 13 acres, is nothing but a monument to give glory to Yahweh and to Jacob and his 12 sons. Folks, this is amazing. I have the map here. Ask for the three-part document here on Joseph and Mary, 3 pages, and I have the map on the second page. It's a color map. And if I haven't already sent it to you, ask for it, and I'll show you, and it shows the location of Jerusalem, and you'll see Jerusalem. Below Jerusalem, which is to the south, you'll see Bethlehem, Judea, and all of this that the Father holds sacred, the name of Ephraim, the name of Joseph Ephraim, the name of his Hashem, meaning the divine name, the Yod He Vah He, written by the shadow of the natural configuration of the mountains, and at Lutz, written out there is Lutz, which is Bethel, according to Genesis 35:19. You'll read it, where Jacob slept on the pillar, where he got the covenant promise, where he said, here you shall put my name and call on me. And there's where they had the first altar at Shiloh on the mountain of Mount Gerizim, where Joshua came back in generations later and there put the altar right back where the birthplace. You see, Joshua was an Ephraimite, and he led the children into, as a covenant promised son, into the land of milk and honey. Christ would have had to come out of the birthright tribe of Ephraim to even have any law. Into the spiritual kingdom, which is exactly what it is. But they hated him. But now listen in verse 24. But his bow abode in strength. You see, when Christ was being stripped of his raiment, isn't that what they done to Joseph? They stripped the coat of many colors. The colors represent the symbolic divisions and the mind that is in Christ in completeness in 12. The different levels, the different tribes, the different consolations, the different thoughts. And all this is symbolically approaching back to the metaphors of Revelation. And God is sending prophets and teachers. You'll be amazed at the people around the country that are getting a hold of this revelation. We're having people calling us from all over, getting information to verify what Pastor Buddy is revealing to you tonight. Look at the 24th verse. If you'll just mark the 24th verse and read the 10th verse and look at the difference between Joseph and Judah, you'll see what Pastor Buddy's teaching about tonight. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. But do you know what Christ said? I am the stone that the house of Israel will reject. They rejected Joseph, and they rejected Christ, a perfect type. And oh, the wisdom of God. Oh, the mighty hand written in the mountains to confirm the birthright sonship that Christ would have had to come through the house of Joseph. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to wrap it up here next week when I prove to you that the house of Joseph was eventually to become the house of David. He said, I have found David, a man after my own heart. Now, Luke's entire section, I want to give you something to think about here, and this is included in the 3-page Joseph Mary document that I have written for you, and you can have it by just calling us, and I'll give you the place to write for the document tonight when we go off the air. Praise Yahweh. Now listen here. Joseph and Mary were both from the house of David. Now, you see, ladies and gentlemen, if Mary, the mother of Christ, was from the tribe of Levi, as many suppose, pray tell me how that Christ could have been the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, have you ever thought about that? Now, think about the impact of what I just said. If Mary, the mother of Christ, was from the tribe of Levi. Now, remember, Joseph was from the house of David, it says so. But Joseph did not contribute one drop of blood to Christ, to progenitor him. See, Joseph was not his father, but Joseph, as was supposed. But isn't it strange that a man by the name of Joseph was chosen to be the natural, as was supposed, father of Christ? Have you ever thought about that, the reasoning why that the man would have been named Joseph? Isn't it wonderful? Well, let's think about this now. And people say, well, Mary was from the tribe of Levite because her cousin Elizabeth was from the tribe of Levi. Well, let's back up here and take a look at this. If Mary, the mother of Christ, was from the tribe of Levi, how then could the seed of Christ be from the house of David according to the flesh, as it is written in Romans 1 and 3, and in Psalms 132, it says, I'll swear unto David that I will of his flesh. Now this is Christ's prophecy in Psalms 132. Check it out. I will sit upon the throne of David, in the flesh. So then, he was called the son of David. It could not have been through Joseph, since Joseph did not contribute one drop of sperm or blood, as we're talking about here, into the womb of Mary. Joseph did not know her. She was known only by God Almighty. Now, this is amazing. Listen to what Christ said in Revelation 22:16. I am the root of David and the offspring of David. Now, let me repeat that. I don't know where you caught that, and I don't know where you caught the significance of what I said. This prophecy that I just give you is so astounding. When you apply it to these principles that I'm giving you here and put it in proper context, then you'll see the light that Christ wasn't a Jew. David wasn't a Jew. I'll challenge anybody in the 48 states and the continental divine where it is stated that Christ was a Jew. $1,000 for your trouble. If you'll find me book, verse, and chapter, write me here. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Just address your letters to Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. And I'll send you this document along with some more information, tracks that we have written, and this will go out to you. Send us a little love offering. And Dr. Gary wanted me to encourage you tonight to really help us and support us. We really need your help. We're struggling ministry. As you very well know, we're not the run-of-the-mill type preachers. We're not lying to you. We're not trying to tickle your ears. We're just trying to literally beat the living hell out of you with the Word of God. We want to strip you naked of all your tradition. And we like the 10 sons stripped Joseph of his raiment, his coat of many colors. And they throwed him into a dungeon and locked him up where Joseph got more spiritual. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, be still. You see, God's plan for Joseph was that he first go and stay in a prison, approximately 17 years. He spent in a prison, a dark dungeon, and no doubt a lot of solitary confinement, unthinkable conditions. You know, they didn't make jail back then a nice place for you to visit called the dungeon, and it literally was a dungeon. They would torture you. They made you pay when you violated their laws. And you see, Joseph was sold into slavery. Isn't that a type of Israel? You see, everything that Israel imposed upon Joseph came back on Israel later because Israel itself went into slavery, into blindness. You see, just as the blind brothers couldn't see Joseph for who he was, they didn't even recognize him. And the Bible said that Israel is still blind as a type. You see what I'm talking about? But they shall come out of Zion, come out of the revelation, and come out with a doctrine, come out with a message, come out with a burning fire of truth that will turn Jacob, Israel, from his ungodliness and anoint his eyes with eyesight and give him the ruach of the spirit, the induction, the flame of fire to revive him and to awaken him as did Rip Van Winkle in his long prolonged sleep. Israel has been asleep for many a year. This is all prophetic of 2,520 years of sleep, and then the awakening. Something's got to jar us back to reality. Some truth has got to come and replace the lies that we've been told and we believe. Something's got to come to replace Easter and Halloween and Christmas and all these pagan holidays that are fast approaching, when it's nothing but merchandising of a God called Christ. Oh, man, it's so sickening and so pathetically sick that this nation, which is now removing our constitutional standards from the courts, piecemeal by piecemeal, they're taking it out, dismantling our belief system, tearing it down, and encouraging us to watch pornography, and to agree that homosexual marriages is okay by the state, but keep the church out of it. We have no voice in the state. Ladies and gentlemen, when the people become afraid of its government, then the government is destined to rule by tyranny, by force, against the will of the people. That's what's happening, that the majority of people do not, and I repeat, do not, our country was established on Christian principles, and yet we have sunk so low, and we've become so, well, we've become so humpbacked and mealy-mouthed and weak-kneed and knock-toed, and I just like to describe how ugly I think we as a nation has become, as a person, that God looks down upon this ugly mess that we've created here, and it'll take nothing but fire to cleanse it. And that's what's coming. If Mary was of the house of Levite, then Christ could have had no genetic claim to the house of David. I'm going to repeat that. You think about that. That's an impact statement. If Christ was to sit on the throne of David and Mary wasn't from the bloodline of David, then Christ himself came through the wrong bloodline, because in Levite there is no possession. But there is a tribe that wasn't mentioned at the altar. And most people think in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that was Judah, because he said, I remember that it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. And I think maybe a doctrine of the text has been applied there. But let me give you the truth statement. There was nothing. You see, Judah had ruled in kingdom. Judah had ruled for thousands of years, and Joseph had never ruled anything. The house of Ephraim, Joseph had never ruled anything, unless David himself was an Ephraimite. Now, was he? Well, we think so. So then, there was no need for you to think any other way than this. If Mary was from the tribe of Levi, her father was a Levite. Now, her mother could have been a Levite. But you see, the father contributes the blood to the genetics. Just as the father contributes the chromosomes, the Y chromosomes, from the blood sperm, the mother contributes the X chromosomes to the character of the child. So then, that if there was not a male to succeed in the bloodline to have the land or the property of the birthright, then in certain exclusive cases, a woman could claim heritage back to the land if there was no male to carry on the bloodline. The woman picked it up. Just like it was in the book of Ruth, where Boaz, the Ephraimite, claimed Ruth, because, you see, Ruth was married to both of the sons of Naomi and Elimelech, and they were both Ephraimites. Well, that would have made Elimelech an Ephraimite. That would have made the next of kin an Ephraimite. That would have made Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, an Ephraimite. Now check it out in the book of Ruth, and you'll say, Pastor Buddy, you're right. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what I teach is often stranger than fiction, because nobody has dared to teach this and stand the onslaught of disbelief. You see, I don't like all the people calling me a false prophet. I don't like people calling me deranged or ignorant or unlearned. But I have to endure all of these things because of the ignorance of the people that are accusing me that I'm wrong. And I have to take them to school. And I gladly do that, because Yahweh has equipped me with a mind capable of retaining the knowledge that he's given to me. And so I don't have to hunt for it in the scriptures as some do. I don't have to wonder what's on the next page. I have been there. I have fasted many, many days and prayed over these things that I may have boldness, not arrogance. This is not arrogance speaking. This is boldness by the living word of God in the Ruach that is invested into my heart, that's given me confidence to speak the word with boldness. Just as Peter, James, and John did when they were beaten and opposed by the Sanhedrin court and the Jews that were taking them to task for preaching the same thing here, that Christ was from the house of David. Now listen here. Paul of Philippians is right. Paul concluded that both of them, Mary and Joseph, were from the lineage of David. Her lineage is traced back to David in Luke 3:23 through 31. Besides, there's no need for Christ to be of the priestly tribe, since his priesthood was not after the law of a carnal commandment, as Paul said, but after the power of an endless life, according to Hebrews 7:16. But now notice this. Here's where the confusion comes in. A lot of people don't understand the tracing back and the difference in the genealogy. Luke's entire section of genealogy is from Joseph to David, differs from that given by Matthew. The two genealogies are easily reconciled if David is seen as Mary's genealogy and Matthew's version represents Joseph's genealogy, both of them, back to David. Thus, the royal line is passed through Christ and his legal father, and his physical descent from David is established by Mary's lineage, not Joseph's. Now, you see that? Most people think that Joseph was the father of Christ. That's not true. Christ did not have an earthly father, not by the will of blood of man or the will of the flesh of man, but by the will of God was he incarnated into the earth. So God was his father. And Mary, not knowing a man, Joseph, when she became pregnant, everybody said, well, whose son is this? Isn't this Joseph, the carpenter's son? No. Christ said, no, I'm the son of Yahweh. Joseph was the son of Hilda by marriage, Hilda having no sons of his own. Remember this now? Here's how the lineage of Mary came in. Joseph was the son of Hilda by marriage, Hilda having no sons of his own, and thus is named in Luke 3:22 or 3:23 as the representative of Mary's generation. Moses himself established precedent for this sort of substitution in Numbers chapter 27, verses 1 through 11, and you can find an example in the MacArthur Study Bible, 1997, in Word document on page 1518 through 1519. There is a commentary on this very subject. Now, the word translated cousin in Luke 1:36 of the King James Bible is not as exact. In its English word, cousin, the Greek word is sergenes, and could be translated countryman, because the NSB and the NKJV and the ESV translate it relative, or the ASV translates it as kinswoman, and this is certainly not sufficient evidence to warrant the conclusion that Mary's father was from the tribe of Levi. If this were so, the inspired writer of the Epistle of the Hebrews could not have truthfully said then. He could not, and I've repeated this, and I'll repeat it again. He could not have truthfully said that Christ pertaineth to another tribe. You see that? Because Levi was the particular tribe that had attendance at the altar. So there had to be another tribe. Now you have a choice. Was it Joseph? In his coat of many colors hid from the revelation of the other 10 sons, or was it Judah who prevailed over his brother, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 and 2? The word prevail means he bullied his way in. He took it. But listen what the prophecy of the mighty prophet Jacob said in Genesis 49:10. The scepter will depart from Judah when Shiloh comes, or when Christ comes. Well, why did Christ produce all this raging debate in John chapter 7, beginning at 42 through 52 of the Holy Book? Some said, is not this the Christ? And others said, is Christ coming from the seed of David in Galilee? And the Pharisees stepped in, who had changed the text, and I've proven to you that they did change the text. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:12, check it out. 1 Samuel, turn there with me if you will. Turn there. 17:12, it says that David was from Jesse the Ephraimite, not Jesse the Judite. Now, I'm going to repeat this. Now, a leopard can't change his spots, and you can't change your genealogy bloodline. Now, you can take it out and miscegenate it and mix it and adulterate it. If you do that, you're in trouble. But see, Christ deliberately chose a tribe that had not been polluted, where no attendance at the altar had been given. And this was a shock to the ruling Sanhedrin court of the Jewish faction when Christ came as the son of David from the house of Ephraim in Bethlehem, Ephratah, not Judea. And we'll prove that to you, and we have proven it to you, and we can prove it again. Write for a document and proof that Christ was not a Jew. We offer a $5,000 reward for anybody that can prove that Christ was a Jew. Oh, they tried to make him a Jew. They tried to accuse him of being a Jew. But nowhere does he ever say he was one. Quite the contrary. If you read the evidence, it's overwhelming that he was an Israelite from Galilee. They call him a Galilean, by the way. And they killed him for being a Galilean. And the raging debate of John 7:42-52 will conclude the very fact that Christ himself, and if you will, Nicodemus, who came to him by night, acknowledged that he was Christ from Galilee, and the prophecy of Micah 5:2 was correct, that he would be born not in Bethlehem, Judea, but in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Well, you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call tonight, and we are in part 3 of Holy Blood and Holy Birthright. Now, I have that document. It's an 8-page document. If you'd like to have that, I've wrote a, if you will, an excerpt out of a major document. We have 22-page document on the whole thing, but we've broken it down and made it quite smaller and easier for you to read. We have that document tonight, and an 8-page document. We'll send that to you if you will send us a love offering of any size, any denomination. We don't care where you're Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Quaker, Shaker, or Undertaker. We don't care who you are, where you come from. Just send us a little love offering to support the Shepherd's Call. We'll send his documents to you to prove to you. If you have any questions, you can call us up. We're Free Wine 21, and we're here 7 days a week. This ministry is our life. We eat, drink, and sleep the Word of Yahweh 24/7, and we are courteous when you call. We're long-suffering, and we'll take your criticism as well as your praise. We get very little praise, a whole lot of criticism, but we can take that and live with it because we're in the kitchen and we can take the heat. And if you don't believe it, you call us up and introduce yourself to us, and we'll get into the Word and we'll search out the truth. The Bible said, see and ask for the old path, and when you find it, walk in, and you will find, it's a positive, you will find rest. Now, what is rest? You might even find out what the correct day of the Sabbath is on. We got that news for you, too. And we have taught on that for the last 2 or 3 years on WWCR, on Truth Radio, taught that for 2 years around the world, and we taught on the Sabbath exclusively, almost on Truth Radio, the name and the Sabbath. We taught that, and we taught and taught it, so we've got hundreds of tapes that are on the messages of other doctrines you'd like to have, and we prove everything. The Bible said prove all things, and hold fast to that which is good. Well, let me give you the address now tonight, Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. I'm here on a remote location tonight, but I am able to take your call. I'm going to give you a new telephone. If you'd like to call me tonight here after the show, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, let me give it to you again. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's my home number. I'm so used to giving it. I'm on remote. Let me give you the remote number first, then I'll give you my home number again. That's area code 423-626-0440. That's where I'm at tonight on remote location. We are in our worship service here tonight, and you can call me here at area code 423-626-0440. That's 0440. Call me tonight. I'll be waiting on your call immediately after the show. If the line is busy, call back and call my number at home and leave a message. I'll be glad to call you back, and we'll talk. My home number, of course, for those of you that's just joining us tonight by means of the first time on radio here on WWCR Worldwide, the mighty voice that goes around the world. This is an astounding operation. If you've never been down to see the the operation of WWCR. You owe it to yourself if you're ever in Nashville, Tennessee, to go out to these friendly folks and tour their facilities. They're awesome. They are, to me, they're the number one shortwave operation in the world. They have no equal when it comes to putting out religious programming around the world. And I'm telling you, they've got a mighty voice. So we greet all of you out in the western states now that's able to pick us up on the mighty 5070. And we're coming in, I hope, tonight out there. We have a friend that spot checks for us out 3,000 miles out in California, a brother that monitors our radio broadcast. And he said last night that it was pegging the wall out there on his meter. And so we're so thankful that we're coming in. If you're having trouble receiving us, you let me know, and we'd be glad to pass that along to the engineers at WWCR. But most of the evidence is we're positive. Sometimes the sunspot activities and in earlier regions of time, we don't come in as clear around the world as we'd like to, but that's the way shortwave radio operates. So we're glad of the positive response on WWCR 5070. My home number, area code 423-626-2172. Leave me a message, and I'll get in there tonight about midnight or thereafter, depending on how many calls we get here tonight, at 626-0440. That's area code 423-626-0440. Call me, and we'll be right with you. Praise Yahweh. Well, Dr. Gary, let me give you his number real quickly. We've got a couple of minutes here, and we're going to have to get out of here. Dr. Gary, he'll take your call tomorrow. Call him, 1-877-289-7439, and tell him you heard Pastor Buddy on the radio with this challenge, and you send us a love offering and pledge support to Dr. Gary. Tell him that you want to support Pastor Buddy's message, and Dr. Gary will be glad to put you down as one of the contributing supporters of the. And we'll send you a little package of love offering information that will be sent out to you free and postpaid. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Well, I got to get out of here. The old clock on the wall says that my time is over. And until then, this is Pastor Buddy, and we'll see you next Sunday night. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.
Praise God.